Nick Grosso is making a return to the Royal Court Theatre with his new play Ingredient X. His career has really been built around this one building, and we are currently in a fifth floor meeting room above the dressing rooms, and we're going to chat about Ingredient X and about his career. He started off in the days of In Your Face Theatre. He kind of same era as Sarah Kane, Mark Ravenhill, but despite the fact that Alex Sears featured him in the In Your Face book, I'm not entirely convinced he's an In Your Face playwright, but he can disagree with that if he wants. Nick Grosso, welcome to Theatre Voice.
Thank you.
Ingredient X appears to be an extremely personal play. It's a play about addiction. It features one man and three women, and they really look into addiction from every angle imaginable. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the sources of this play, where it came from?
Well, I never really know what I'm going to write about when I start writing. I think I do have an idea, but sometimes it just takes on a life of its own. And so the theme of this play quite quickly became apparent to me as I was writing, and that theme was addiction. And that's a subject which is close to my heart, and the play just developed. And what I wanted to show in the play was I didn't want to just describe addiction and how that impacts on the addict. I also wanted to show how addiction impacts on those around addicts, and how they leave a kind of a trail of destruction in their wake. And I wanted to show that the impact of that on all these. So I wanted to kind of approach the subject from these four different angles. And there's one particular character, Katie, who has an addiction to addicts. So she's actually confronted that addiction of hers. And so she knows a lot about recovery because she's actually been in recovery herself in order to tackle her own addiction and, come to some understanding of it. So she has a lot of awareness and understanding and compassion towards addicts, which doesn't necessarily mean that she's able to, that necessarily affects a change in her behaviour. It just means that she has an awareness of it. And that she's so in the first half with her kind of that she has this long dialogue with Rosanna, who's the character who has a lack of compassion for addicts because of the impact that her ex-husband has had on her life and the life of her children. I wanted somebody to articulate the nature of addiction, and that's really. But I really wanted to show it from all sides. I wanted those two characters who share a long dialogue about the topic, if you like. I wanted them both to be right and both to be wrong. I just wanted it to be a kind of they're both backed up by their own experience, and so one has every right to have a lack of compassion, and one has every right to have compassion. It's a choice that they both make.
I think it will be interesting for audience members. Those two characters, one is played by Indira Varma, the compassionate one, and Leslie Sharp plays I'll call her the mouthy, less compassionate one. But my guess is that at various times in the play, you would hope, and we, the audience, would feel sympathy or empathy with each of them. I don't think certainly my reaction, I only finished watching the play about 10 minutes ago, my reaction wasn't that I love this one, I hate this one. It was very much that I could see strengths and weaknesses in each of them. And partly that's down to superb acting. And I think director Deborah Bruce has done extremely well. You seem to attract great actors to your plays, which is nice. And once again, you've just got a tremendous cast who really work together on this one.
Yeah.
What about your own input into this? You obviously decided that addiction is a topic. Are you just looking at it academically?
No, academically. I don't think I look at anything academically. I just don't think I have that ability. I certainly didn't come at it academically. But I have a lot of experience you know, because I come from a family that's been very affected by addiction and by alcoholism, and it's always been a subject or topic that interests me, you know. So it's not something that I had to research, but on the other side of the coin, it's something that I have 40 years worth of research. You know, it's impacted greatly on the life of me and my family. And but the thing about the topic is that I think that it impacts addiction in one form or another. I think touches most people's lives in some way, you know. And I think that it's a very, it's a profound subject, because it's it permeates in society in ways that aren't always necessarily clear. It wasn't that I started off writing this play thinking I want to write a play about this topic. That wasn't the case at all. But as is always the case with my plays, what I need to do is I need to find what I call my tables and chairs. That's all I need to do. I find my tables and chairs. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a table and chair, but what it means is that I have the setting, and I have the people, and then it just, and then they just collide, and then we see what happens. And then sometimes the thing I think I'm writing about isn't necessarily what I'm writing about, and then it becomes apparent to me in the process of writing the play what I'm really writing about, and that helps me to complete the play. And that was the case with this play. I didn't have any intention of writing about addiction, but I don't think that the play is solely about addiction, but I think obviously that's the most overt theme, and that became apparent to me very early on in the writing of it.
It may also be that you treat addiction so widely that almost anything that we do becomes addiction, because in addition to the heroin and cocaine that one might recognise, the alcoholism that one might recognise, you mentioned there's addiction to addiction, or addiction to addicts possibly, and also you've got addictions like video games and the X Factor. You right. really do take it very widely, and I think then it begins to hit home, because there may well be audience members who aren't addicted to sex and drugs and rock and roll, but maybe on Saturday nights they do like to sit in front of the X Factor.
Right. I mean, I didn't have any intention of talking, you know, the X Factor is just, they're coming round to have a nice Saturday night in and to watch the X Factor. That's all there is to it. There isn't, I never once thought for a moment that any of them, that I was describing any kind of addiction to reality television. However, that's what a lot of people have picked up on, and I think that there may be something in that. Maybe there is, you know, that's going on, but I don't, that wasn't something that I was aware of when I was writing it. The addiction to video games, addiction to addicts, other things that are described, addiction to the internet, these sorts of things. I think that they're absolutely issues that affect a lot of people, and particularly young people. And I think they're just as legitimate an issue as any other kind of addiction. I mean, they can have just as devastating an impact on people's lives and the lives of those around those who are addicted.
Certainly it's noticeable in the play that each of the four characters makes, well, at least one journey, and arguably several journeys around addictions to understand themselves, deliberately fail to understand themselves. What about you? Did this play make you understand yourself better? Did it make you want to hide away from anything?
Did it make me understand myself better? That's a difficult question to answer. I think that writing, for me, probably like a lot of writers, is a very cathartic and therapeutic exercise. Mm. So it really, it's not so much that it helps me understand myself, it helps me to survive. It's simple. You know, I need to get it out. And I think that it helps me process stuff. So it's more a means of survival for me. What was the second part of that question?
I think it was twofold. One was, did it make you understand yourself better?
Yeah.
And secondly, did it make you feel you wanted to hide away from anything?
Did it make me feel I wanted to hide away from anything? On the one hand, it's nice to... I have found this play quite difficult to, you know, to putting it on and submitting it. I found that process quite challenging for me, as opposed to previous plays. I found that more of a challenge because I've been away for quite a long time. And because of the nature of the piece, I think that I had to kind of make a leap. And but as for hiding away, no, not really. I think it's just been challenging for me, and that's just a personal battle. That's all that's been.
Your career started, I'd almost say, explosively. I suppose it's about 15 years ago, in the mid-1990s probably, at the Royal Court. Was it Peaches that you started with?
It was Peaches.
I suppose there was a solo show before that, but Peaches was the big breakthrough.
Yes, Peaches was my first professional production.
Right, what was that experience like? To come from nowhere and suddenly be the darling of the Royal Court, written about in books.
Right, well, there was... I think I was 23 when I wrote that play, and I wrote it in 3 weeks, and then I submitted it, and it very quickly got accepted, and it very quickly got produced. That was in the days of Stephen Daldry. Mm. So when you're young, you don't really know any better. Mm. So it didn't really feel, looking back, I don't think it felt that odd. That might sound like a strange thing to say, but it's like I hadn't tried loads of times before. Mm. I'd never tried before, so it was...
That must be devastating for other writers who are going to listen to this, who have 20 goes and get rejected every time.
Right, well, I think there's a huge slice of luck involved, you know, what do they say, being in the right place at the right time, etc. But I think these things are meant to be. They're just... And we as writers, or anything else for that matter, just have to accept it. So there was a new season of new writing, which was a commitment that I think Daldry undertook, and he selected some debut pieces of work for the theatre upstairs, and mine included. And then that season of work got a lot of attention, and I was just really delighted to just to have a platform for my work, really. I think that's what any artist would crave.
And what made you write to start with? Why does a 23-year-old spend 3 weeks writing a play and then suddenly it gets launched into the stratosphere?
It was odd that I wrote a play because I'd never been to the theatre. I'd never studied English or theatre or drama. I had absolutely no interest. Never studied literature. So it was odd that I wrote a play. But it was... I had been writing stories, short stories, which I'd been entertaining my friends with, because my friends all featured in the story, and they were largely just autobiographical, and they were just stories about the things we got up to. And so I wanted to write, and then somebody suggested to me, well, you should attend this writers group. Then I went to the Young People's Theatre, and there was... And I used to go one evening a week and do a 3-hour workshop, and it was a playwriting workshop, and it was held by a playwright. And so I used to sit there and then and just soak it up, really, and listen to people talking about plays and reading their own plays that they were in the middle of writing, etc., etc. And I think that's what inspired me to write a play. Well, it clearly did. I went away for 3 weeks over the summer, went to Berlin, wrote this play, and because I was young, I was very sure of myself. So what that meant was, when I returned and I showed the person who led this group the play and other members of the group, although they liked it, they all suggested me doing things to it, because they were largely trying to write their own play. Yeah. That's what people do. Yeah. And I was just very, you know, I was being told things like, oh, it's not very dramatic, you need to put some drama, it's just people talking, there's not a lot going on. And that stuff didn't faze me in the least. I knew what I was doing. I wasn't interested in any of that stuff. And when I submitted it to the court, they got back to me very quickly. And the thing that I remember them telling me they liked about it was that I wasn't trying to copy anybody else. The reason I wasn't trying to, unbeknownst to them, the reason I wasn't trying to copy anybody else is because I wasn't aware of anybody else. So I'd never read or seen anything. So that actually worked in my favour. They found it original, and they found it unconventional. It all worked in my favour.
And I'm amused, Dominic Tom Gould describes you as writing in Chinese. I'm sure you're aware of that.
No, writing in Chinese.
In The Full Room, he describes as writing in Chinese. And he explains he doesn't mean writing in Chinese as in the language, but just you write something that is so different.
Right.
Just completely different. And it's sort of quiet plays where on the surface very little happens.
Right.
And then it all filters through and people begin to gain understanding. You ought to read The Full Room.
Yes, well, that sounds like a compliment.
Oh, yeah. I'm certain it was a compliment.
Yeah,
yes.
No, I've been, I have, it was a long time ago, so yeah. I have some recollection.
And how did your career develop after that then? So you write the one sensational play when you're 23 and you've got to go on and do something else.
Right, yeah. So I suppose, I just carried on, right, when I wrote Sweetheart, that was the one that came after that. I wrote a series of plays for the court. I think this one's number 6.
Right.
So let's take this one away. And there were 5, and I think I certainly wasn't writing them very fast. That wasn't in my nature.
Right.
So I was doing a lot of research, and then I was, my own kind of research, and then, but I'm one that I suppose I was just I'm not someone who goes looking for a story, or who walks around thinking, "What shall I write?" It's just, it never occurs to me. That I just, when it comes upon me, I sit down and write, and when it doesn't, I don't. That's how it's been. So, that's how it continued for me.
It's interesting you talk about not doing a lot of research, because your plays have the look, and in the nicest possible and genuine tend as a compliment, they don't look like they're researched at all. They look like they are slices of real life.
Right.
And if you were to say that everything is 100% autobiographical and you just write down what happens to you,
right,
I would believe it instantly.
Right.
I take it that, well, I hope that's not the case.
Well, it's not the case, but of course there is some of the plays have large autobiographical elements, and others have absolutely none. However, I don't. When you write a play, or when you write anything for that matter, as long as you're true to yourself, regardless of whether it's autobiographical or not, I think that's largely irrelevant, actually, because if you're true to yourself, you're true to your imagination, or you're true to your life, or whatever it is you're writing about, it's clearly going to have some form of, it's going to be very personal. So I think if I were to write, like, if the next play were going to be set in outer space and it featured aliens or creatures from, you know, wherever, that could be or would be just as personal as anything else I write, because I just, the only thing that I strive to do when I write is to be honest and to be true, and not to censor myself. That's important. And then whatever comes out, comes out. And I think it's just a question of being open to whatever is going to come out, and just allow it to come out.
And you said it takes a long time to write your plays. There have been big gaps, and most recently, certainly between the last 2 World Court plays, Kosher Harry and now Ingredient X, was that 8 years or something?
It's been 8 years for the last time I worked in this building, which is a hell of a time, isn't it?
And have you spent 8 years writing Ingredient X, or have you been doing other things?
Well, I have been doing other things, actually, but it's been far more low-key, and that's just the direction that I took. I started writing for young people and working with young people, i.e. teenagers. So I wrote 3 plays for teenagers, and I started doing a lot of workshops and found it very inspiring. So I got involved in that. I also did a play abroad, where I was commissioned to do something in Sweden in the National Theatre there, and there's been various projects that I've been involved in. So, but I have been lying low, and I haven't submitted anything to, you know, to one of the major theatres up until Ingredient X, but Ingredient X I submitted 18 months ago. So it isn't. It's obviously on now, but it was submitted a long time ago.
And what next? Are you going to write the play about outer space?
I don't know what the next play is going to be. That's all I can say. It's not a great answer, but it's a truthful answer.
We've lost out on an exclusive there. Nick Grosso, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.